If you haven't seen our complete series, you should, because throughout our series, we discussed the rise of Daesh, a Takfiri terrorist organization with its roots in the Wahhabi Salafi ideology that unleashed terror and murder upon the innocent masses of Asia, Africa, and Europe. We also unraveled the roots of the Wahhabi Takfiri ideology in the never-before-seen ideas of Ibn Taymiyyah and Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, both considered zealots in their respective eras, and whose Takfiri ideas have never been legitimized by any of the established schools of thought, namely the Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi'i, Hanbali, and Ja'fari school of jurisprudence. We uncovered the Saudi sponsorship of the Wahhabi Takfiri ideology in their religious universities and the financial support of the Saudis for various Takfiri terrorist organizations globally. We exposed the bloody hands of the British and the Americans in the creation of these Takfiri organizations and the geopolitical collaboration of Israeli Zionism and Saudi Wahhabism. We finally revealed the groundbreaking Sunni conference in Grozny, Chechnya, that openly stated the Salafi Wahhabi ideology is not part of Sunni Islam. It seems we have more than enough proof to legitimately and safely state that the Wahhabi Takfiri ideology, sponsored, funded, and protected by Saudi Arabia, has only caused death, destruction, chaos, and oppression among Muslims and non-Muslims on a global scale. It has become a tool to break and destroy from within the once mighty Muslim Ummah. But there is one piece of this puzzle that we have yet to unravel. The last piece of this great puzzle is the current fight to resist the division and discord being created by the Salafi Takfiri movement and their Western supporters. We see today that the efforts of the enemies of Islam has created chaos, death, destruction, and division for the Muslims worldwide. So in this episode, we search for the light in the Islamic world, the resistance which is fighting to unite the Muslims globally under the banner of there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. The founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Ruhullah Musavi Khomeini, led an Islamic revolution supported by the people of Iran. The purpose was to take the nation out of greedy imperialist clutches and return the inherently Islamic nation back to its Islamic roots. With the advent of the Islamic Revolution, the imperialist forces of Britain, Russia, and the United States had to pack up and leave. A hard slap in the face of the imperialist and Zionist agendas, which to this day still hold a deadly grudge against the Islamic Republic. One of the first things that Imam Khomeini did in this Islamic Republic was to establish Muslim unity. He did this by his actions when he proposed and established the concept of Islamic Unity Week. His proposal was hailed and welcomed by scholars of all Islamic denominations and by the Muslim masses throughout the world. Islamic Unity Week is held between the two dates related to the birth of the Holy Prophet and has become a solid foundation for drawing Muslims of all denominations closer together based upon the teachings and sunnah of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. Imam Khomeini also established the International Quds Day on the last Friday of Ramadan, calling on Muslims to dedicate this day to mutually demanding the rights of oppressed Muslims and non-Muslims around the world, particularly the oppressed people of Palestine. Finally, Imam Khomeini fought for Muslim unity through his words. Muslims should be awake, Muslims should be alert that if a dispute takes place among Sunni and Shia brothers, it is harmful to all of us. It is harmful to all Muslims. Those who want to sow discord are neither Sunni nor Shia. They are agents of the superpowers and work for them. After the demise of Imam Khomeini, his successor, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Husseini Khamenei, the current leader of the Islamic Revolution, has continued the divine mission of fighting for Muslim unity among all Muslim sects. I call all Muslims throughout the world to reflect on these realities. We do not at all insist that in a unified Islamic Ummah, certain Islamic denominations should accept the beliefs of other Islamic denominations. No, this is not what we mean by unity. Unity means that different Islamic denominations should highlight what they have in common and do not use their differences to cause fratricide, war, and enmity among Muslims. This is what we mean by unity. This drive to establish unity amongst all Muslims while retaining our individual differences has not been limited to the Islamic Republic. Rather, there are numerous global scholars of high caliber and great vision who are working towards the united new Muslim Ummah. Islam and the Prophet of Allah call for dialogue, harmony, and meeting and getting acquainted not only with other Muslims, but also with the followers of other religions. The Prophet himself was the pioneer leader in expansive dialogues, which used to take place with Jewish and Christian religious men, among other religious scholars. The highest Shia authority in Iraq called on Shia Muslims, saying that Shias should defend Sunnis' social and political rights before defending their own rights, and we call everyone for unity. As I have said before, Shias should not call Sunnis their brothers, but their souls. Saudi Arabia is like cholera, which has plagued Muslim countries. It has targeted the national unity, the Islamic Brotherhood, the stability and identity of the Muslims in all Islamic countries, including Egypt, Algeria, and Yemen, with the United States as the mastermind of the offensive. The religion is one as prescribed by Allah. Even if the people hold different points of view and are located in different environments, we do not call on people to abandon their viewpoints or schools of thought, nor do we intend to dominate all other points of view. The whole aim is to promote unity among Muslims and hold every Muslim as brothers, irrespective of points of view. And we can never forget our faithful and sincere Ahlus Sunnah brothers who are working hard towards the divine mission of establishing a great unity amongst all sects of Muslims. When Egyptian, Iranian, Lebanese, Iraqi, and Pakistani religious scholars and representatives of the Sunni, Hanafi, Hanbali, Shafi'i, and Maliki schools of jurisprudence and the Shia, Imami, and Zaydi schools of jurisprudence sit next to each other and discuss religious matters, they often issue joint statements which are scholarly and jurisprudential in nature. Kindness, brotherhood, and cooperation are a very characteristic feature of all these gatherings. It is sad that narrow-minded and bigoted individuals exist in all sects who oppose such scholarly gatherings of ulama of all Islamic denominations. They see their interests in division of Muslims and they oppose unity of the Islamic Ummah. Division of Muslims into Shias and Sunnis should be removed out as Muslims become better educated and informed about Islam. But sadly, this division is still with us and has its roots in the hearts and minds of bigoted and sick individuals. The ruling class of Muslim countries, who are the enemies of Islam in many instances, support the division of Muslims. The Muslim Ummah cannot take another war. Let's unite on our common grounds rather than focus on our differences. Let us focus on what we agree upon and negotiate, discuss matters based upon them. You will find that most of these differences will begin to melt away. I say, why can't you accept the Shia brothers as a fifth madhab? And the astonishing thing is that he, the Shia, is telling you that he wants to be one with you. He is not talking about being Shia. He is shouting, there is no Sunni nor Shia, there is one thing, Islam. But we say to them, no, you are different. You are Shia. This attitude is a sickness of the devil. He wants to divide us. I'm not asking Sunnis and Shia to agree with each other's interpretation, but we do appeal to both Sunni and Shia to stop killing and fighting one another. The enemies of Islam are clapping. They are so happy we are doing their work for them. This conflict serves their purpose. It saves them money, saves them bullets, saves them everything, as we are allowing ourselves to be instruments of their policy. To conclude, we say that a deep understanding of Islam and the Quranic teachings will surely lead us to closer and friendly ties between Muslims of different denominations. A deep understanding of Islam and the Quranic teachings will also lead to a mutual convergence, a strong brotherhood, and the unity of the Islamic Ummah. It is the ignorance of some Muslims that are unaware of Islamic history and do not have a correct understanding of Quranic principles and teachings whom are being used by the enemies of Islam to fuel the fire of division and conflict within the Muslim world. On the other hand, it is the religious scholars of all Islamic denominations with their vast and in-depth knowledge and understanding of Islam and the Holy Quran that are acting as the real driving engine for Islamic unity. Thus, we must increase the scientific and academic dialogue among the Muslims and support and establish institutions committed to Muslim unity. Muslims, both Shia and Sunni, must finally come together and fight to support and protect Islam from the internal and external enemies of Islam. Anyone that promotes hate, animosity, takfir, and discord between the Muslims is in reality an enemy of Islam. Therefore, as a united Muslim Ummah, we must oppose all forms of takfirism. Whether it is takfirism in the form of the political financial support of the Saudis, or takfirism in the form of armed terrorist mercenaries like Al-Qaeda, Daesh, and Boko Haram, or takfirism in the form of the ideological doctrine of Salafi Wahhabism. It has been far too long that the Muslims of the world have been fragmented into small, weak, and broken pieces which have forgotten the pure message of Islam, the united Muslim Ummah. The Holy Prophet Muhammad struggled in his life to break the superficial walls that divide one Muslim from another. Now, more than ever, the unity which the Holy Prophet Muhammad established in the holy city of Medina must once again be revived and established among the Muslims of the world. This divine unity can only be realized if we respect each other despite our differences, learn from each other's traditions, gain in-depth knowledge about Islam, and work together, side by side, to create the new Muslim Ummah. The victories of the enemies of Islam has ended. Now is the era of the united, new Muslim Ummah.